Welcome to Geological Shop Talk. In this podcast, we bring you roughly 12 to 15 minutes of practical clinical methods, perspectives, and advice that has its work boots on. In the next few minutes, you'll get a clinical gem of practical material that you can begin to investigate the next time that you walk into clinic. Additionally, visit the show notes page for supporting materials from this week's guest on Shop Talk. All right, roll up your sleeves. Let's get to work.
Hello, my name is Anthony Vondermill, and in today's Shop Talk, I'm going to share with you something that I've learned that has been very valuable in my specialty practice of orthopedics, acupuncture orthopedics, and sports medicine, and chronic neuromuscular skeletal pain management, but I think is also of use to the general practitioner, which is needling joints and ligamentous connective tissues to restabilize a hypermobile joint and provide the underlying structural stability for the muscles that cross that joint. This is something that I learned kind of the hard way from my treatment frustrations and failures from my first 2 years out of acupuncture school, where what I had been taught at the master's level, kind of worked some of the time and sometimes not so well, of simply using traditional acupuncture point locations or probing around for tender areas in muscles and, osseous points or myofascial trigger points and needling into them or using massage or tuina, gua sha, cupping, etc. And some of the time I got satisfactory results. Maybe talking specifically today, I'm going to really focus on the shoulder girdle area and the shoulder region, I would say maybe 60% of the time. But I would have a lot of treatment failures or relapses where I felt like I was playing a whack-a-mole with trigger points and tender areas that kept coming back and results that didn't last. So what if underneath the musculature, the yang, the superficial that grabs our attention, that people like to see and feel and touch, whether you're working out in a gym or you're a massage therapist, there was something else hidden that was at the root of chronic dysfunction and pain and disability? I discovered the importance of ligaments and capsular tissues and joints by taking a series of classes with Dr. Alon Marcus, who was kind of a specialist in this area, who has since retired but published a couple of books on the topic. And that made me understand how the structural stability of a joint is crucial to the functioning of the muscles that cross that joint. But ligaments are missing from most undergraduate anatomy texts. This was new to me, and they were not emphasized at all in my training in the master's level of acupuncture. And yet ligaments link bones to form joints. And when the link is missing, sprained or torn or degenerated, joint hypermobility and pain and disability and eventually degeneration follow. So I used to say this is the missing link, if you'll pardon the pun, in acupuncture education. And yet it has become a mainstay. It is basically my go-to tool for most patients most of the time when treating musculoskeletal pain and disability. So it's important to understand just how common and ubiquitous joint sprains are. Ankle sprains are the number one cause of urgent care visits in the U.S., approximately 5,000 a day and involved in about 20% of all sports injuries. Other most commonly sprained joints are the acromioclavicular and glenohumeral joints of the shoulder girdle and also the knee joint. And sprains are often immediately disabling and cannot be played through by force of will. The biomechanical failure, for example, of a severely sprained ankle joint, just simply cannot put weight on that leg until the tissues are restabilized. And yet, here's the tricky thing, is that after the acute stage of an injury to a joint or ligaments, when the inflammatory cycle subsides, they can become asymptomatic. They are not perpetuated by things like psychosocial stress and repeated overuse that tend to cause recurrent muscle tension, a muscle pain, for example. So an old ankle sprain, maybe sprained in childhood on the playground in one leg, can be totally silent and asymptomatic in somebody in their 50s or their 70s, and yet decades of chronic gait dysfunction from an unstable ankle will start to cause symptoms on the opposite leg. So we have to think outside the pain box and think about structure and think about function in order to really address a root cause here. Why is it a root cause? Well, Ligaments are different than muscles in their tissue composition. They have poor blood supply, and they're not very elastic, and they don't heal well on their own. They don't have abundant qi and blood the way muscles do. And so when a ligament or a joint is sprained, we often get chronic hypermobility in certain planes of motion, and maybe eventually hypomobility in other planes of motion. And that dysfunction of the joint makes it vulnerable to repeated sprains. That's why once an ankle is badly sprained, it's very common for patients to continue to repeatedly sprain that same ankle. Inside the joint, that typically leads eventually to progressive degeneration of the tissues and osteoarthrosis. Outside the joint, a lot of compensatory overloading of muscles, tendons, and myofascial strains result, trigger point formation, adhesions, tendonitis, tendinosis, the chronic stage, bursitis. Nerves can get sensitized or compressed or damaged. And other joints up and down the chain, for example, the sprained AC joint in the shoulder can lead to problems in the glenohumeral joint, the cervical facet joints, and all the way down to the wrist or the fingers. And chronic pain and disability are the result. So to get a little more specific, for example, imagine that the AC joint is sprained. Well, the clavicle is the only bone that attaches the arm to the axial skeleton. At either ends of the clavicle lie these two small joints, the sternoclavicular joint, a little more stable and less often sprained, and the very vulnerable AC joint at the tip of the shoulder where it attaches to the acromion of the scapula. So when either or both of those joints are separated or sprained and become somewhat unstable, that clavicle floating around can do several things. It can directly impinge upon the brachial plexus, the nerve bundle that supplies the entire arm. And it can cause a lot of secondary regional compensatory muscular tension, trying to make up for the unstable clavicle by tightening up the upper trapezius, which results in a lot of neck pain and neck dysfunction that can eventually start to damage cervical nerve roots, and we get radiculitis or radiculopathy in the arm. Or the brachial plexus, again, may get squeezed by tight scalene muscles or a tight pec minor that are trying to make up for the loss of stability of that clavicle. There are many examples of this in the body. The median and ulnar nerve can get irritated by sprained wrist joints from a fall in an outstretched hand. An unstable dysfunctional sacroiliac joint or hip joint can cause compensatory tightening of the piriformis and other muscles in the buttock, then compressing the sciatic nerve. And there's not a lot of good options other than acupuncture, other than needling into these tissues. Surgery can sometimes reattach macroscopically torn tissues in the acute stage of an injury. But if it's been several months or certainly years, the surgeon will often say this is kind of like trying to staple together two pieces of wet paper towel. It just won't hold. Surgery has other risks, of course, like adhesive capsulitis, the surgical risks that we're all familiar with, an infection and putting a patient under general anesthesia, surgical failure, hardware failure, allergic reactions, etc. Medications, and I have to add, even herbs and dietary supplements can reduce pain and inflammation, but by themselves, they don't regenerate ligament or joint tissue or restore structural stability. And repeated cortisone or NSAIDs may actually weaken ligaments and carry very systemic risks. Well, what about if you have a background like myself as a massage therapist, as an athlete who likes to stretch, somebody who likes to practice Qigong, wouldn't all those be helpful? Not so much. They may actually worsen joint hypermobility by stretching tissues that actually need to contract, need to restabilize, need to shorten and tighten up. And what does work to do this is probing those tissues with a needle. How does that work? Not terribly well understood in Western biomechanical terms. In Chinese medicine, we can say, well, we're improving the flow of qi and blood. And yes, that's certainly one way of looking at it. There is an immediately verifiable effect upon withdrawing a needle from a hypermobile joint, which you can determine by learning the skill of joint play testing. This is a physical skill, a manual skill. I personally found it much easier to rapidly gain some mastery of it than, for example, TCM pulse diagnosis. And by probing around in, you know, the acromioclavicular joint and then repeating something that's called the AC shear test or the acromioclavicular, you know, shear test, we can feel that the joint is actually tighter and more stable. And that probably has to do with a reflexive activation of small contractile fibers that are not under voluntary control, but are part of the ligamentous structure of the joint. And then what's really interesting and rewarding is that even out of a single needling session, for the next 6 months or so, connective tissue will continue to build in that area. It's the same process as callus formation on fingers, or, you know, if you play a stringed instrument, or feet from walking on rough surfaces without shoes. The irritation of the tissue causes the release of tissue growth factors. And in the joint, what this does is it causes collagen formation, collagen fiber deposition in the joint. So acupuncture has a great risk to benefit ratio compared to anything else for restabilizing a hypermobile joint. And to help understand this a little further, as I said earlier, you know, muscles have a lot of qi and blood. They respond very well. They self into treatment. They self-repair very quickly. And they're very elastic. But ligaments are more like, instead of like a rubber band, like a muscle, ligaments are more like silly putty. If you ever played with silly putty as a child, you remember how you stretch it out, it gets thin and weak, develops little holes in it, and eventually just snaps, and it will not recoil on its own unless it's stimulated by a needle. So I think perhaps another reason that this is a missing link in our education is that there's a lot of fear around causing septic joints. And indeed, septic joints are very serious, but this is easily prevented by scrupulous clean needle technique. And personally, I exceed the standards of the clean needle technique manual by using either betadine or chlorhexidine swab on the surface of the skin. These actually sterilize the skin and kill microbes versus rubbing alcohol, which simply cleans the skin. And, you know, a few patients you have to ask whether they have an allergy to betadine or chlorhexidine, and it's very rare. And in that case, you just don't want to use this technique. But I've almost never encountered that. And other than that, there are no major blood vessels, there are no arteries inside of joints, there are no vital internal organs inside of joints. So as long as you're clean needle technique, using very clean needle technique, it's quite safe. And here's what I'm looking for, and try this on yourself. Run your fingers along your clavicle out to the lateral edge, to the sort of the tip or point of the shoulder, and feel carefully for a little horizontal, slight bony cleft, or a cleft between two bones, between the clavicle, which lies on top of the acromion. And if you have chronic shoulder pain, or even acute shoulder pain, any shoulder pain, very likely you will find a little tender area around the circumference of the end of the clavicle. That would be the location I would needle into. And what I'm looking for when I needle into a joint or ligament is a reproduction of the patient's typical symptoms, an aching sensation, maybe referring up to the neck or down the arm. And the patient says, oh yeah, that's it. That's the pain I've been feeling. But I'll take any tenderness, any local area that feels tender in that area. That's an indication that tissue is a little inflamed and somewhat degenerated. And only a couple of minutes of probing around, withdraw the needle. It does not need to be retained. Recheck the joint. Typically, it is much more stable. If not, I might have to go back in once or twice to restabilize, to do a little bit more probing of the needle. But you can see, if it only takes a couple minutes, you can actually treat a lot of body areas in a single session and get a lot done very quickly. So that's my introduction to joint needling. And if this is at all interesting and useful to you, I invite you to check out my high-quality pre-recorded distance learning webinar that's available on my website for 8 CUs and PDAs. I partnered with a professional videographer to produce this. And I also teach a couple times a year on both coasts of the U.S. My next class is in Oakland in California on Saturday, July 8th. And I hope you will join me in exploring this missing link in the treatment of chronic neuromuscular skeletal pain and disability. You can find out more information at www.aomprofessional.com/chiological. That's QIOLOGICAL. Thank you for your time and your attention, and I hope this has been helpful for you.